Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What makes a Christian nice guy is that fear is in the driver's seat of his life.
I'm so afraid you won't like what's underneath.
This is not very good news for an emotionally shut down man.
I'm Jim Burns. When a woman finds a guy she thinks is the man of her dreams, she'll often brag to her friends about what a nice guy he is. However, there are many Christian nice guys who are actually what we call in Southern California posers, because they may seem to be nice on the surface, but they're actually pretty emotionally detached from the key relationships in their lives. Now, you can imagine how this will affect a marriage. Well, during the next half hour, I want to talk to you about why the quote-unquote Christian nice guy syndrome is at the heart of why men check out of marriage. It's going to be a most informative discussion today on Homeward, and it starts right now. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about when men check out of marriage. And boy, is that a story. Paul Coughlin is with us. He's a former newspaper editor and radio station program director. He's the author of a best-selling book called No More Christian Nice Guy. And today we're talking about his new book, Married But Not Engaged. And I'm telling you, that is a book that he and his wife wrote and a book that I have just looked at and very, very important. Paul, welcome to our program.
I'm glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
I'm so glad that we can have this conversation. Before we talk about Married But Not Engaged, I want to talk about No More Mr. Nice Guy. Talk for us a little bit about who is this No More Mr. Nice Christian Guy?
Well, listen, if it were genuine niceness, it'd be a great thing, because that's a virtue, right? Being pleasant and thoughtful, considerate, good etiquette and all that. That's all good, and the world needs more of that. I'm talking about fake niceness. It is where fear and passivity are hid behind a fake smile, a fake demeanor. I know a lot about it, Jim, because I call myself a former Christian nice guy, and I see a lot of it in church, unfortunately. When you think about some of the nice people you know in life, ask yourself this fundamental question. Do they ever stand up to injustice? And if they don't, then they're a Christian nice guy. If they do stand up to injustice, then it's genuine virtue on their part. What makes a Christian nice guy is that fear is in the driver's seat of his life. What is incredible is many of these men don't even know it yet, and so it has to be pointed out. And it shows up in no better place than in marriage, which can be the pressure cooker of you find out your strengths in marriage, and boy, do you find out your weaknesses.
You know, I was talking with a woman the other day, and she said, my husband is passive in the home. He is absolutely aggressive at work.
Okay.
And so I feel like I'm married to this different person. I actually see him at work, and he's a wild man, and then he comes home, and he's passive. What kind of advice do you give to her, since she's married to what sounds like a Christian nice guy?
Yeah, Christian nice guy there. The advice you give to her is that throughout much of this work, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. So with him, the reason why he is passive at home but aggressive at work, people tend to be more passive where they're most fearful. So for some reason, he feels more fearful at home than he does at work, which can be pretty common for a guy. Work does not demand, in most cases, most of the time, an emotional understanding or emotional expression. At home, whole nother ballgame. That's why one of the reasons why we get married is to have that connection, that level of intimacy that you just don't have at work, and you really shouldn't have at work. So at home, there is something that's making him fearful. Chances are it's emotional connection. So chances are she wants to do what she isn't doing right now. She wants to give him the freedom to express himself. And when he does express himself, his emotions, he's not corrected. He's not held to necessarily a female understanding of what is right and wrong in some of these home conversations, one of the reasons, you know, a lot of us feel like Ray and Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Is that when he does express himself, it's not right, you know, and Deborah gets upset with him. So he needs to be allowed to express himself in a way where he won't feel like he's got a rolling pin over his head when he does say what's on his mind.
So in many ways, it's not just the Christian Mr. Nice Guy. It's also the woman who's married to him who has to actually deal with issues of not nagging or criticizing at every point, because maybe he's going to step out, and that's not an easy thing for some of us men to do.
Absolutely.
And if he gets the rolling pin, or if he gets the no, you're wrong, he's just going to crawl back into his cave.
Yeah, yes, he is. And you bring up, that's a great perspective there, because I call it the bazooka of shame. What happens with a guy, for whatever reason, it seems to be that we're highly reactive to being shamed. And so if we do, again, express what we think, express what we feel, be honest with the things that we do, the frustrations that we have in life, if we come out of our closet on those things and then we get hit over the head when we do express ourselves, we are not going to be prone to really expressing ourselves in the future, which is horrible, because, you know, men really do need to express themselves. We really are emotional beings. When we clip ourselves of our emotion, of our negative feelings, for example, when we deny, for example, that we're angry, one of the great ironies of life is that we will deny ourselves some of the pleasures. Because if you look at the medical problem, say, of impotency, it's often linked to repressed anger. So isn't that wild that if we repress our anger, we are essentially hurting ourselves, stopping ourselves from experiencing one of the great pleasures of life?
Isn't that interesting? Because a lot of people tell me in their marriages that they have low-level anger at all time with their spouse.
Yeah.
At least low-level anger. And I can understand that. I mean, you can be mad at your spouse 24/7, 365. You live with, you know, with a sinner.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
And you're a sinner. And so then you have sinnerlings, and, you know, you find yourself obviously with some anger. And what you're saying is that we have to sometimes express our concerns, express this, instead of crawling back into the cave.
We have to. And for example, with Christian men, you're right. I mean, this is not a Christian problem. It's a guy problem. But I think for Christian men, it can be even worse. Having grown up in the church at around the age of 15, I basically came to believe that the expression, that anger itself, the feeling itself, was sinful. Well, the Bible never says that. It all depends on how you express it. And so many men think that they cannot, shouldn't feel anger. But that's a primary emotion for men. We must learn how to handle it, but we must learn how to express it properly.
Right, because a lot of times with men, they either rage or they crawl into the cave. I was reading in your book that sometimes you're seeing this as men want safety. I don't a lot of times think of men wanting safety, but it kind of made sense to me. I want you to kind of unpack that for a minute.
Sure. Again, emotions tend to be a difficult place for men to venture into, particularly boldly. Most men don't venture into it boldly. By the way, Jesus entered into emotions very boldly. I think, like a lot of people, I grew up thinking that Jesus was pretty much a Star Trek Vulcan, right? That he went through life in this dour, robotic existence, and he robotically went to the cross on our behalf. That caricature is as fictitious as anything you'll find in Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. The real Jesus traveled a great emotional spectrum of amazing highs and unbelievably desperate lows. So if we think that expressing emotion and showing emotion isn't somehow Christian, then Jesus didn't behave in a real Christian way. We have to unpack these emotions, because there is this, a recent study from the University of Virginia. Brad Wilcox came out with an amazing study, confirmed what we've known for a while, and that the wives are happiest when they feel a close emotional connection with their husband. This hasn't always necessarily been the case. This hasn't always been the benchmark, so to speak, in regard to how wives historically in America gauged a good marriage. But that's how a modern woman gauges her marriage today, primarily, though not exclusively. Well, this is not very good news for an emotionally shut down man, because there are other statistics to show that the main reason that women will ask for a divorce, well, they file for a divorce more than men, around 65% of the time. When asked why, hardly anything to do with adultery or and abuse, physical or verbal abuse. It has to do with a general lack of love and appreciation. They don't feel cherished by their husbands. An emotionally unengaged man, somewhat how I used to be with my wife, he's a divorce statistic waiting to happen. He must unbundle the emotional side of himself, or he's really headed for disaster.
I want to talk more about that in a moment. We're going to take a break, Paul. We'll be right back. We're talking about married but not engaged, why men check out of marriage. Don't go away. More to come on Homeward.
Good topic of conversation today here on Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Relevant Christian degree since 1899. If you want to learn more about APU and any of the different programs available to you as a student, a distance learning student, as a matter of fact, you can go to homeward.com and hit the APU button as well. Marriage is a big issue for families. As we talk about parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, we also speak into marriage quite a bit. Jim, the author of a number of helpful books on marriage, including his book, Creating an Intimate Marriage. And if you'd like to learn more about that or any of other Jim's writings, you can visit our online resource center today at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns, and for our Homeward Snapshot, I want to talk about six keys to a better marriage today. Joining me here in studio are Bill and Debbie Davis.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Okay, Bill and Debbie, when was the last time the two of you had a date night?
A date night?
We don't date, Jim. We're married.
Right, okay. Well, next question. When was the last time you took a vacation together, just the two of you?
Oh, come on, Jim. Is it really that important? I mean, you know, we're both so busy with work and the kids. Who has time for that stuff?
Well, I think it's very important, and every marriage needs some one-on-one nourishment to stay healthy.
And now that you mention it, there is that really cute bed and breakfast that I've always wanted to go to.
There is? I didn't even know.
I guess we never really talked about it much.
But you're talking now, and that's the main thing. And don't forget saying those three little words that are so powerful in a marriage.
Dinner was great?
No, silly. I love you.
Oh, well, I love you too.
This marriage is looking better already. And if you'd like my free tip sheet called Six Keys to a Better Marriage today, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Paul Coughlin is with us today. He's the author of a great book called No More Christian Nice Guy, but today we're talking about his brand new book. It's called Married But Not Engaged. We're talking about why men check out of marriage. And Paul, right before the break, we were talking about emotional connection. Boy, I think you describe most of the men I know. And these are great people.
They are.
But in their marriages, it's not as fulfilling. It's not as intimate. And their wives don't know what to do. Because they want this man to begin to talk and be emotionally connected and whatnot. But, you know, he's carrying some wounds. He's carrying some other things. What do you say to the person who says, you know what, I am either emotionally not connected to my spouse, I'm a bit wounded as the male, or as a female who's going, give me some connection here, buddy.
Well, yeah, woundedness is really important, right? A lot of guys have neglect, abandonment, physical abuse, that sort of thing. Even overprotection. It's a weird deal, but an overprotected kid is a timid adult often. One of the other things, too, to keep in mind is that when a guy goes off to work, in most cases, most of the time, showing your emotions is a liability. It's not something you're going to want to do on a regular basis. It does not get a man ahead in the office, or even blue collar or white collar, right? So we need to keep that in mind. Fear is a snot-nosed little liar in our lives. Fear is often false evidence that appears real. So for many men, they have a fear of expressing how they really feel. They think they're going to get in trouble. There's a reason why that's the case for many guys, because when they were younger, they probably did get in trouble for expressing how they really felt. So, you know, they don't walk around with this written on their forehead, right, that I'm not going to speak my mind or say how I really feel because I'm going to get in trouble. It's just been, it's who they are. It's how they've lived for much of their lives. And so they bring that into their adult relationships, particularly it's seen most in their marriages, and they just really don't know it. So they need to realize that that fear is often false evidence that appears real. If they married a woman of goodwill, and that is often the case, you know, we don't marry people because we don't like them. There's usually this natural grace that appears between two people. Now, that grace gets eaten up in nice guy marriages big time. Nice guys eat up goodwill with their spouses. But if that goodwill exists, you should be able to express yourself, to express how you really, really feel without getting your head handed to you in return. What I tell Christian nice guys, or nice guys in general, write down the 10 most memorable moments of your life, from the best moments, hopefully your honeymoon, to the most painful when your dog Fido died. Take those, list them, and then on date nights with your wife, begin to reveal to her those events. And if you want to laugh like a madman, laugh like a madman of all the of the highs. If you feel like crying during the tough parts, cry. Cry. Do it. A woman of goodwill, if you express your emotions to her, you express your weaknesses to her, she will run into your arms. That's what many are looking for.
That's fascinating. I had an experience with Kathy this week where I was sharing some of my vulnerability. And I'm probably not the worst Christian nice guy. I'm definitely not the best at this, but you know, I'm kind of in somewhere in between. I mean, I cried at the Babe Ruth story recently. So, you know, I have some emotion, whether that's good or bad.
Good for you.
But I shared with this, and she just came alongside of me and was, I mean, it was almost over nurture here. I thought, what was that all about? And I thought, you know what? I haven't shared with Kathy some of these issues that are in my heart just recently. And it was an incredible connection.
Yeah.
And she, you know, over and over again has said that she appreciated it.
And we're not talking about the creation of snags, right? Sensitive New Age guys, right? We're not talking about Alan, all the dudes who are, you know, I don't know, cry at the grocery store because of something on the front page of National Enquirer.
Yeah.
We're talking the appropriate expression of emotions. You don't want to overdo it, but that's just rarely ever a problem for guys. They underdo it.
Yeah.
And as a result, their wives are constantly trying to grab and draw their husband to them. And they're among the most frustrated people in the
sure.
United States.
And that's a great word picture. Now, I'm thinking about a relationship with someone who had come in and talked to me about their marriage. And he said, you know, I used to share more with my wife, but she has such low self-image that if I share an emotion or a vulnerability, then she kind of takes it personally. And so what I've kind of done, and he basically described, without reading your book, he described that, you know, he's kind of a Christian nice guy. He's very passive in the relationship.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to affect her. He didn't want to hurt her. He didn't want to damage her because he felt she was somewhat damaged.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say to that guy?
Well, she has soul work to do, right? That's a tough situation. And the book is written, we touch upon that, but not mostly. In a situation like that, that is a sad thing, that if he wants to express himself in a relationship and he's unable to do it because he's afraid that it'll take her down, I guess it depends on how he expresses himself. Expressing disappointment is an important thing. If you can't go to your spouse and do that, then that's not a very good marriage, sadly. It, you know, depends on how you express your disappointments, your frustrations with life's inevitable difficulties. You don't want to overdo it on the guy side. On the female side, she, again, it's more with her. She's got soul work to do. Just the fact that someone expresses their difficulties doesn't mean that it should take another person down in the process. She needs to realize that it's she needs to stop getting her eyes off herself and start ministering to her husband.
Sure, and in many ways, that is building intimacy in the relationship, even through her vulnerabilities. In your book, you talk about the difference between love and intimacy. Help us understand that.
It's a great difference because it can be a real psychological, mental, spiritual awakening and hope. Because oftentimes, as we know with love, you can... It's weird, but it's true. It's of Shakespearean proportion that you can love someone and not really like them sometimes, right? Love can be, to some degree, involuntary, at least the feelings of love. Intimacy, you rarely get involuntary intimacy. Intimacy is an act of will. It's where you expose yourself, where you're willing to be vulnerable in the presence of another person. It is intentional. The beautiful thing about that, though, it is a bit scary. It's, in fact, it's, it would be more scary than love itself. Again, fairly involuntary. You can do something about it. You can actually do something to help create intimacy by the way that you behave, the way that you express yourself, showing humility in front of your spouse, showing your own weaknesses. What's wild with unengaged men, Christian nice guys, is that they often marry vivacious women. If my wife were here, you would think, wow, that lady could teach assertiveness training classes, right? That's how I used to joke when we first got married, because here's passive Paul and assertive Sandy, and we were fire and ice, man, when we came together. So these assertive, outgoing women really have a great way to minister to their husbands if they if they'll handle them in the proper way.
Paul Coughlin has been my guest today on Homeward. He's the author of a great book on dealing with a common problem in many marriages today. A lot of men are sort of just hanging around emotionally in their marriages, but they're really not connecting with their wives on any level. And a big reason this is taking place is because these guys grew up thinking that it was okay for them to act like what Paul calls, you know, these Christian nice guys. I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. If you're married to a Christian nice guy and you feel like there's something missing in your marriage, well, you're probably right, because there probably is. That's why I want to conclude today's program with some words of encouragement for you if you're a wife who wants to help your husband get engaged in your marriage again. And men, listen to this, because I think it works both ways here. Creating intimacy in your marriage takes work. It's intentional. It's easy to blame your spouse for a lack of intimacy, whether you're married to a Christian nice guy or, frankly, a Christian nice girl. It's important for us to understand that if we really want to develop and maintain intimacy in our marriages, we have to lay aside the blame game, focus instead on what you can do to make intimacy work in your relationship. Two things are important to remember in cases like this. Number one, understand that you set the tone and the mood and the atmosphere in your marriage. Don't wait for your spouse to miraculously change and make everything better. If there's something that you don't like about your marriage, well, don't assume that 95% of the problem is your spouse's fault and only 5% of the problem is yours. Try turning that number around and then get to work on the 95% that you are now taking responsibility for. And I'm convinced that you'll be amazed at how many problems start fading from your marriage if you use this approach. So, hey, it's about you, not about them in terms of making the changes. Secondly, is use awe. Affection, warmth, and encouragement. I say this all the time, but use awe to connect and reconnect with your spouse emotionally, physically, and relationally, as well as spiritually. I think it's one of the most important lessons I've ever learned for my marriage, and I believe it can help your marriage also. So how can you proactively put affection, warmth, and encouragement into your relationship? Just this last week, I was speaking at a couples retreat up in the Bay Area in San Francisco area. Beautiful, beautiful place. And a woman came up to me and she said, I had heard you speak on awe before, and so I just had a no complaint day. And it was amazing that in one day, because I just didn't complain to my husband and he was used to all these complaints, it turned our relationship around. Doesn't mean that we still don't have problems, but we had a much better day the next day because, you know what, he didn't have to hear me complaining. Now, there are issues that we do have to complain, but know that if you complain, that you're going to have to take a withdrawal from your spouse, and your spouse needs a lot of deposits as well. Well, there's going to be a certain measure of low-level anger in your marriage, and that's normal. However, if these problems are ignored too long, they only become larger. For instance, grief that is ignored often turns to hopelessness, and hurt that is ignored becomes defensiveness toward our spouse. And the suppressed anger can easily turn into bitterness. And if you feel yourself going that way, then you better make sure that you're taking care of that by using some awe. Believe me when I say that conflict is inevitable in a relationship, but it is important to remember that there is one person who can make a difference in your marriage and that marriage atmosphere. And that one person who can get you started down the road to a more intimate marriage is you.
That's right. Don't wait for your spouse. Take that first step. Good advice from Dr. Jim Burns here as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Sometimes it takes a little nudge, a resource or two to kind of help get kickstart the thought process here. We have several resources in our Homeward Online Resource Center. One of them is our daily online devotional. We call it our Evotional. It's a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff here at Homeward. It's delivered to your email box each and every weekday. You can join the tens of thousands of people who receive these each and every day. Start your free subscription today when you go to homeward.com. And also, you can check out the resources that are there while while you're there. Jim has written extensively on marriage. The books Creating an Intimate Marriage and his daily devotional book, or I should say his weekly devotional book called Closer, that he wrote with his wife, Kathy. These are two of just many resources that you'll find for purchase in our online resource center. You can buy one of Jim's books directly and support the Ministry of Homeward at the same time. And you can take care of that transaction when you go to HOMEWORD.com.
Thanks, Roger. And be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with author Paul Coughlin. We'll be talking about why men check out of marriage once again. So be sure to tune in. Till then, I'm Jim Burns, and I appreciate you listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.